One of the things that we find on the Seder plate every year in front of us is the charoset. The Gemara in Gemara Pesachim talks about what is this charoset all about. And the Gemara says that Tanna Kamma held that dipping maror in charoset is not a mitzvah. The Mishnah then cited a dissenting opinion. Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Tzadok, says dipping maror in charoset is a mitzvah. The Gemara asks, what is the nature of this mitzvah? The Gemara records a dispute in this matter. Rabbi Levi said, Zecher l'tapuach, it is a commemoration of the apple tree. Take a look at the art scroll footnote in source 2. The charoset contains apples which commemorate the apple trees under which the Jewish woman in Egypt gave birth without pain, away from the watchful eyes of the Egyptian authorities who were intent on killing their children. And we'll talk more about this in Mirat Hashem. Rabbi Yochanan said, Zecher l'atid is a commemoration of the clay. The Gemara concludes that as a compromise, both opinions must be reflected in the character of the charoset's mixture. Abaye said, therefore, one must make the charoset tart and one must make it thick. One must make it tart for the commemoration of the apple tree, and one must make it thick since it's a commemoration of the clay. So the obvious question we have to ask ourselves, which is Mefarshim ask, and this is source number 3, B'nei B'chori Yisrael Rav Kluger. Ulechora kasha. First of all, ketzad efshar lamtik et hamaror. If you're trying to sweeten the maror, which is a remembrance of the shibut, right? I'm not only talking about recipe-wise, we're talking about conceptually. If you try to sweeten the maror, which is to remember the shibut, the hard work, how can you do that? Idea charoset chigufa zecher latip al dishtabdu. So you should sweeten it into something which is a reflection of geula, of redemption, not something which reflects servitude itself, right? The bricks, the clay, the mortar, the hard work. So it doesn't seem to make sense if you're trying to sweeten the maror that you're going to put into charoset. I would put it into something which reflects redemption. That's question one. Question two is, v'otzarichi liyashevet shnei beirim b'inyan charoset. On the one hand, you're telling me it's zecher latit, which is the golus and the shibut. On the other hand, you're telling me it's to remember the apple trees, which is how Klai Yisrael prospered. Well, is it an aspect of redemption, or is it an aspect of servitude? And it seems to be an inner contradiction. V'umash mamash tarte desatre. It's a contradiction. Like, what exactly is a charoset trying to represent? What is the uniqueness about the apple trees? What's really going on here? What is what's the slavery, the mortar, the bricks? What's the charoset? That's the overall question we have to ask ourselves, is what is the symbolism of the charoset? What is the charoset coming to teach me? What should I be thinking about when I see the charoset? It's interesting, in the Torah Vavot, the Das Haggadah, they have a very technical question of why don't we say a bracha on the charoset. In this technical discussion, they bring down here a very important point. And they say we may extrapolate another hypothesis concerning the recital of a bracha on a mitzvah. If there's a mitzvah which no maaseh is needed for its fulfillment, you don't have to do an action, then there's no bracha recited on that mitzvah. Accordingly, we may posit that the requirement of the mitzvah of charoset is fulfilled solely by accomplishing the remembrance of the mortar of the slavery. There's no requirement of consuming the charoset. And this can be derived from the concluding words of the Rambam, where he stresses that the charoset must be brought and placed on the table. It's really sufficient to bring about the remembrance of the mortar by the place of it on the table, and hence the bracha is recited. So obviously, there's something about the charoset that is supposed to be teaching me a lesson, even if I don't put the maror into the charoset, dip it in. Just by the charoset being on the table, it's supposed to be teaching me a lesson. Obviously, we have to ask ourselves, what is this lesson? And clearly, as we know in source number 5, we make the charoset from Zecher l'Tapuach with apples in it. We also bring the wine in it. The wine reminds us of Zecher l'Adam, the blood. And as well as we use different nuts and different foods that remind us by its name of the Jewish people. Kepelech harimon, hateinah chanta, aleh betamar, elkinah, they go. So all of these different fruits are used, which connect to Klal Yisrael. And again, the question we need to ask ourselves is, what are we to learn from here? And this is specifically important, as Rav Pinkus points out in Source 7a and 7b. We've done this idea before, that the Ka'ara, the Seder plate, represents the six Midos, the six ways Hashem interacts with this world, starting with the right-hand side of the Zroa, it's Chesed, the Beitza on the left side, on the top is Gvura, the middle is Maror, and that's the top representing the way Hashem interacts with us. The bottom three are the way we interact, our response. On the right-hand side is the Charoset, on the left-hand side is the Karpas, and in the middle is the Chazeret, and the seventh Mida of Malchus is the Ka'ara, it's the Seder plate itself. So it's interesting to note that the Charoset is found on the side of Netzach, which is eternity, and it's found on the right side of the Seder plate. And again, we need to understand, what is the lesson that we need to learn? The Charoset is our involvement. It's our understanding that we need to learn from this experience. What is the Charoset all about? Comprehending Charoset is going to be, we'll try, it's a very, very deep shiur. We'll try to examine it, and we'll try to bring it into Inyana Diyoma, what's going on today, to perhaps get a little bit of an insight and reflection if we can. The first idea is to understand Charoset from the Maror perspective. Not from the Charoset perspective, the Maror perspective. And that is, the Gemara Psochim elsewhere says, why do we even dip Maror into Charoset? So there is this, on a technical level, some type of deadly worm, poison, different interpretations in the Gemara, and the Art Scroll commentary talks about why we'd be even allowed to eat this. If it's a worm, we're not allowed to eat it. It's a whole discussion which is not for us today, particularly since it's not something I really like to talk about. Worms and creepy crawly things are not one of my favorite topics. And in order to be able to kill out or to destroy this, what we call this deadly part of the Maror, which is in Hebrew, it's referred to as Kappa, Kuf Pei Aleph, we therefore dip it into Charoset. Now, what is this idea on a symbolic level? So says the Chasam Sofer in source number 8, Kappa is Gematria of Samael. Samael is another name for Esav and the Satan, Nun, which is the Satan, Rochev al Nachash. The Satan is riding on the Nachash. The Nachash stands for the snake, which is the Nun. And that's why Kappa is Sam HaMavet, which is this aspect of the deadly poison, which is unfortunately too eerie for us to talk about today. She's Kiruchas al Gabay Marosh Mitvatel Ide Charoset. This deadly poison is knocked out by Charoset, and Charoset is made up of the letters of Chayrut Samech. The 600,000 go into freedom, and in that way, we're able to knock off this deadly poison. We'll just add here parenthetically in source number 9, the Rambam, it's a very interesting shita, in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, in the 8th parak, in the second halacha, he says, Matzchum Avarak Baruch Pri Adam, as he's going through the Seder, he gets the Karpas. He says, "V'lokeach yerek u'mitabel oto becharoset ve'ochel kezayit." And here he says that you take the Karpas, we dip it into meimelech, we dip it into salt water. The Rambam says you dip it into charoset. Well, it makes sense when we understand that the famous idea of Karpas being samech perach, that the 600,000 perach had hard work. So now we can appreciate the 600,000 having hard work, we dip it into the charoset, which is the freedom, the chayrus of the samech. So already at the beginning of the Seder, we have like, in that one dipping, we have like the whole picture, that the 600,000 who worked hard ultimately get freed. And that's like the whole story, I was going to say in a nutshell, with pun intended, I guess. Not too appealing, but what can I do? On a deeper level, my friends, let's work together. What is this idea of that the kappa is this sam, is this poison? So without getting into the technical, let's try to understand the philosophical, what the Chasam Sofer is trying to say. What is this poison, this samavet of the kappa? So Lekach V'Libum has a very fascinating interpretation. And he says, he brings down here in source 10, Ulavim inyan klipa zu shal kappa, shachasim sofer megalelanu sh'inyan osama mavet. Haniskar begrara hi klipa shal mitzrayim. Chasam Sofer says, this kappa, this sam shal mavet, is the klipa, it's like the shell of what Egypt is about. And he explains that kappa, this klipa, is really the klipa of the letter Aleph. Aleph, the Ava Shalom points out, is Rashi Tevo, is an acronym for Ozen. Aleph is spelled out Aleph Lamed Pei, like the letter Beis is spelled out Beis Yud Tav, letter Yud Yud Vav Dalet. The letter Aleph is spelled out Aleph Lamed Pei, which is the acronym for Ozen, ears, lave, heart, peh, mouth, which are the three parts of us that have an orla that can be hardened. And our job is to take away those hardened parts in us to be able to break that barrier between us and Hashem. And that's really our job in Pesach. Ki Mitzrayim ha'yu eilu ha'varim, in the Aron 10, in Mitzrayim these very items, Meshubadi l'paro, were enslaved to Paro. Ubehem haya golos Mitzrayim ha'ruchani, and that caused our spiritual golos. You have the Orlat ha'peh, the inability to speak Dvarim Shebekdusha, and as we know, our speech was in Golos, and that's why Pesach was about Laman Tisaper V'Gadat L'Vincha, to be able to talk, that we're able to bring our mouth out of Golos to be able to connect to Hashem. Then there is the hardening of the ears, and Pesach is a time Laman Tisaper Bosnei Bincha, to tell it in the ears of your children, that the ears have to be open. And then there's Orlat Halev, which is obviously the hardening of the heart. Maltem in Orlat Vavchem. We have to be able to peel away that Orla of our heart. And that's the idea of the Yayin Yismach Levavenosh, the drinking of the wine, to try to be able to break through, to allow the Pesach experience to permeate within us. It's not by accident in source number 11 that Kappa, Kuf Pei Aleph, is the same numerical value, 181, of Ozen, Lev, and Peh, to teach you that the Tumat Mitzrayim, the Sam Hamavet, what is this, you know, death, this poison of death? It's the fact that in Egypt we had a hardening of our ears, of our heart, and of our mouth, and therefore we're unable to have this relationship with Hashem, and that is what we have to try to counteract. It's interesting, he notes in 11b something very fascinating, and if you take a look at modern day culture, you see the power and the brilliance in this. We know that the Pasuk tells us by the Meyaldos, Vayas Lahem Batim, that Paro made them houses. And he brings down this idea that this is indeed what Paro did in a number of places. He made houses for the Jews. Why did he do that? Because he wanted the Jews to be exposed to the Egyptian culture. And when the Jews hear the Egyptian culture and the language and all that which is really, you know, inappropriate, when they hear it with their ears, it will enter their heart. And when you enter the heart, we know the peh is kumnas halev. The heart is the mouth is the ink of the heart, that the mouth that expresses what the heart feels, and that's the order of Aleph. Ozen, first you hear it, you're exposed to it, then it penetrates into the lave, the lamed, and then the peh, then you begin speaking this way and acting this way. And our job, obviously, in source 12 is to be an Adam. Adam is Aleph Dam, which is the Alufo Shel Olam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is in charge of us, but it's also the Aleph Dam, that the Ozen, lave, and these three aspects, the Ozen, lave, and the peh, have to be able to be in control of a person. And therefore, he says, "V'zeh akavanah b'mashatov limita maror b'charoset," the arrow, the asterisk in 12. This is why we dip the maror in charoset, to be able to offset this kappa. Ki maror harei miramitz al galus. Maror is obviously exile. Haynu levatel hashpat hakappa b'galus shenuchal lichyot liyos b'galus aval m'blilu t'umat ha'gimel ha'varim elu sholim b'gematria kappa. Charoset is about trying to offset the effects of Golos. That albeit we have to live in Golos, but at least have our heart, our mind, our ears open to be able to receptive to Hashem. And perhaps that's the idea, that the tapuach is arartich, awakening you. Tachar tapuach arartich. The apple is an awakening experience. The charoset wakens us up to the fact that we are in galus, but we can't allow the galus experience to just overwhelm us, that our heart, our ears, and our mouth shouldn't be able to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which ties into the first reason, the other reason of the Charoset as well, of the Tevet. And we know that the reason they didn't listen to Moshe is because the Ruach Mavodah Kasha, from hard work. And we have to be careful when we eat the Charoset to remind ourselves this is a trap that the Itahara, the Mitzrayim, try to put on us. So we're so involved of getting, you know, this Tevet and that Tevet, this drawer and that drawer, which is in modern day terminology, you know, more, to accumulate more, that we have no time to think about a Kaddish Baruch Hu. The Charoset, which is the Tevin, reminds us, let's not fall into that trap. The Tapuach should awaken us, that indeed, albeit we're in Golos, but we have to temper the Golos a little bit, that we're open to hearing. Our ears are open to hearing, our mouths are open to speaking, and our heart is open to having a relationship with Hashem and being able to hear the messages that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to give us. Okay, having said this, now let's try to understand what is the imagery of the Tevet. Let's start with that. Let's understand why is it that we dip the Maror into the bitterness itself. Then we have to understand where the apples fall into place and try and understand the whole picture of the Charoset. And we'll see that, again, these are very, very complex and deep ideas. We'll start with the Sefer Laila Kayom Ya'ir of Baum, who has a whole piece on Charoset. And he speaks about that if you take a look at the ingredients of the Charoset, no, this is not a recipe. In the sense, you can go into the kitchen. As I was saying to somebody today, I'm making Charoset. And they're really, you're up to Charoset? Right, we're 3 days after Purim. I said, I'm making a charoset shir. We're not quite up to the charoset yet. Is that we start with the ingredients that Klal Yisrael refer to. All these, Damtalu Tamar, Kipela Charimon, Elkinati Goz Yeradati. We take all these ingredients that represent Klal Yisrael. And we take the idea of the wine. The wine represents the blood of the Klal Yisrael. They would take the boys and they would put them, or the children, they would put them into the bricks, that blood, the makas dam, as well as we take cinnamon and we take different spices that look like the bricks, and we put this all together and we have this sense of charoset. Charoset melashon cheres. Cheres is something that is dry, something that doesn't have moisture, something that doesn't have blessing, something that represents this difficult work of hard labor. And in fact, he says, V'yesh gam kein devil squiggly b'zecher l'tevin zecher alachat sh'lachatu l'tam mitzvim ayado. When you take a look at this charoset, which looks like the bricks, the mortars, you know, the straw in it, it reminds us of the pressure that Klal Yisrael were under. It was like, you know, who can find more tevin? And they're created this animosity and this tension among the Jews themselves, which is part of the Mitzrayim's plans. And all of this was to show you, and this is the double underlined, double squiggly in 14, the Adua Shehayovesh Morel Adin. This cheres, this dryness, there is no water here. Water represents chesed, kindness, is the aspect of din. The charoset tells us that all of this was din. There was a tremendous amount of judgment against Klal Yisrael. 15. V'hineh charoset shenaguba Klal Yisrael l'maset tamam atokim. I get it. It's supposed to look like bricks. Whether it does or not, that's up to your recipe. And I get it. It's supposed to remind us of the hardships and the tension and the pain that Klal Yisrael was under. But bottom line is, people like charoset, right? You're supposed to dip it in and then like shake it off. Most people don't do that. They just pile it on. Okay, we're not talking about most people here. We're supposed to dip it in just to like take away that sharpness. But why do we dip it in? It's taka sweet. It is sweet, even though it's supposed to represent the bitterness. It's nevertheless sweet. Okay, I understand that you have devar chamutz, you have the apples and the wine that make it a little bit sour, but nevertheless, the fruit makes it sweet. V'netan l'ropa z'remes, l'koa chamtakan haras, sh'yesh l'kla Yisrael. Here it goes, my friends. This is the idea we're developing Mirz Hashem tonight. And that is, you see here the power of how do you overcome challenges in life. In the belief that everything that Hashem does is good. They know that Hashem is mamtik mar bimar, that He takes the bitterness to sweeten the bitterness. As we say, ba'erev yalim bechi, at the nighttime, the erbuvia, the time of confusion, is the crying, v'laboke rimna, and in the morning is the singing. V'oto biru nirmaz b'charosa mamtika tamaru. If you take the maror alone, it is poisonous. You put it into the charoset, which also represents the bitterness. And what do you get out of this? You get out of it what it tastes like. You get out of its sweetness. And this we see in Source 15, Siftei Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedlander brings down. We see the same thing later on. When Klai Yisrael leave the Kriyas Yamsuf and they come to Mara, the place of bitterness, because the water was bitter, Vayareu, there Hashem pointed to him to take an eighth, a bitter tree, and put the bitter tree in the water. Well, hold on a second. Why don't you put something sweet in the water? Because this is what we need to understand, my friends. It's through the challenges themselves and the bitterness themselves that we grow, that we become better people, that the bitterness and the challenges together, the two negatives equal a positive. Kashir mitocha yisur misara hadam lachzor b'tshuva lizkari v'lashem. You see here that when a person comes closer to Hashem through the challenges, that in itself is the goodness. On this level, my friends, what do the apples represent? So I understand the teat is the bitterness. We put bitterness in bitterness to show that really everything that Hashem does, it's really not bitter. It's for our good. And we believe it's for our good. And to the extent we believe it's for our good, to that extent we create sweetness. So here in the Haggadah Gedolah Tnuah Tamusar, he quotes here a very, very long essay that I just took out selections of Rav Yitzchak Isaac Sher, Zatzal de Slobodka Rosh Yeshiva. And he speaks about what is this idea of the Tapuach. So we know the Medrash tells us, and this in English is beginning the Medrash, Rabbi Avira expounded, the Mare of the Righteous Woman, who were in that generation, Israel's redeemed from Egypt. When they would go to draw water, the Holy One, blessed be He, would prepare small fish for them in their jugs. And when they would draw up the jugs, they would be half full of water and half full of fish. They would then come and place two pots on the top of the oven, one full of hot water, one full of the fish. They would take them to their husbands to the field. The women would bathe their husbands, anoint them, feed them, give them to drink, and in that way, persuade them to have children. And then the Medrash goes on, and there are many different variations of this Medrash. And obviously, Medrash has to be understood, but having said that, let's just look at it on this most simplistic level. The Medrash speaks about when it would come time for them to give birth, they would go out into the fields, tachat ha'tapuach ha'ratich, under the apple trees, and they would give birth there. And then different variations of the Medrash of how the Egyptians would come and like plow over these children, and then these children would just sprout up from the ground. Again, these are based on the Pesukim. Shenemar, Ruvavak, Yitzemach, HaSadeh, Pasuk that we say in the Haggadah. And who would care for these children? Malachim came down, and they would care for these children, allowing them to grow and bathe them and feed them. And then when they would get older, they would come into their, recognize who their parents were, and they would come into their house. And this, they say, in a number of places, it was these children who were the first ones at Kriyas Yamsuf to say, Zekei Levi Vegel, they recognized Hashem, because they had such a spiritual experience of literally being taken care of Kivyochu by Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chvodo V'Atzmo. They recognized godliness first, even before their parents did. So here we find, my friends, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Scher in the end of 18 says, we have to look carefully at this medrash. You know, so often we think that Klai Yisrael were the 49th level of Tumah per se. The Slamat Groch Yeshiva, if you take a look at his paper, Shem Chodesh always looks at Am Yisrael in a very positive light. It's a very fascinating approach. And you look at all the stories, all the sins, and you see them from a whole different vantage point. And likewise here, he's saying that look at these women. You think that Klai Yisrael are on such a low level? Look at them. Shemasru nafsham lemalei ritzon Hashem labot der Yisrael kechol hayam. Look at the mesiras nefesh that these women did. It was like higher than the Akedah to some degree. They left their children, not in an abandoning type of way, knowing, Hashem, we've done our part. You do your part, right? You're the third partner, and you take care of these children. And that is what these righteous women did, taking care of the children. Therefore, my friends, in 19, we dip the maror into the charosa. So it becomes sweet a little bit, and we're like, hello, that's not fair, it should be bitter. But the reason is, yes, the bitterness is to remind ourselves how Hashem made, how the mitzvah made our lives bitter. However, they weren't able to fully make our lives embitter. Why? But the Marirus was almost doused, lowered, by putting it into the Charoset, which is the Tapuach. Shisham nigla aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyochu v'asai mehem nisim lifloim shefigu et hamerirus v'biklu et hakapa ya'erish v'merirus. What does the tapuach represent? It represents Hashem's way of softening the hardship, that Hashem enabled Klal Yisrael to give birth in a painless type of way, these women, and to be able to take care of these children. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, you have the bitterness, but in any way that I can offset that bitterness, I'm going to. So on the one hand, the charosa represents the bitterness. On the other hand, the charosa represents the sweetness of how Kadosh Baruch Hu did, kivyochol, many miracles in order to be able to alleviate just a little bit the bitterness that we were under. And he says, this is our challenge, to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu itanu b'chol makom she'anachnu nimtzeim. Why is it necessary to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim at all times? Because we have to remember that Hashem is with us at all times. And therefore, we have to, kein yizkeh b'yameinu ela, last paragraph of 19, in our eyes, in our day, to open our eyes and to realize and to appreciate the shluchei Kadosh Baruch Hu mitmasrim manigei ha'teva v'zanim farnesim otanu mamash d'vash mitzela v'shelom shem mechalamish sur. We have to look for those agents in our lives that are feeding us from the rocks, who are giving us the ability to withstand the challenges in life and being able to do miraculous things that we're able to survive in our galus. We have to open up our eyes to be able to see that even within our galus and even within our bitterness, there's the apple, there's the sweetness, there's the goodness that Hashem does for us. The way the Haggadah of Mayan HaMoed describes it, it's a very interesting description. He says in the asterisk in 21, after going through that the miracles that happened, he says, okay, I get it. So Hashem did miracles. The Tapuach represents the miracle. Aval ech tuvan hanagat HaKadosh Baruch Hu imam. Kazem me'or panim b'leidatam. Okay, when they were born, Hashem took care of them. It was amazing how responding. The kazes, they're putting lacharmiket, but then they grew up and they went home and they had to be slaves. And like, well, you make up your mind, Hashem. Is it bitterness or is it sweetness? The answer is both. And we have the charoset to remember hadomeh latit v'latapuach. Remember the bitterness, remember the bricks and the mortar and the hesterpanim and kivyocho, the hidden face, and remember the tapuach, the haresponim, that Hashem is shining a face on us. And he says, this is the idea, he quotes here, from the Mekubal Aloki Rabbeinu Ramchal Zatzal, 22. Shabari Yisparach Mafil Shtei Anagot Makbilot. Hashem, at times, very often, will have two parallel ways to deal with us. Hanhagas HaMishpat, where there will be that judgment. Vanhagas HaYichud, and the oneness of Hashem, which means that if Klal Yisrael are at the point of extinction, or at a very serious point, Hashem will step in and do miracles. And the two of them work hand in hand. And it's almost hard for us to understand, because, you know, it's like either or. And the answer is a duality. The answer is it's a dialectic. On the one hand, there is the bitterness of Gullus. And this works on both levels, my friend. The national as well as the personal. And the difficulties and the challenges. At the same time, we have to find the goodness, the sweetness, and the Hanagata Yichud, that Hashem is so close to us in all of these challenges. The way he... Rav Yoshiv Zatzal looks at in 23, it's a medrash I never met before. He says, when Esav met Yaakov, he fell on his face, he fell on his neck and embraced him. And Rashi tells us, Chazal tell us that Yaakovinu's neck became like marble. So Esav like broke his teeth on it. So both of them are crying. Esav is crying because of broken teeth. And right, and they cried on each other's necks. And Yaakov Avinu's crying because the neck hurt him. And both are true. Neis mufla aval tavarka avad bechi. Yeah, it's a miracle. But his neck still hurt him. And the two of them can work hand in hand. And we can be in a lot of pain and yet see the miraculous at the same time. To summarize this before just bringing in a little bit into our lives, this first level. The Mara, bitter herb, Rabbi Spiro reminds us, source 20, of the slavery in Egypt. However, when eating the charoset comprised of wine, apples, almonds, and other sweet-tasting ingredients, it's difficult to understand how that is meant to remind us of the bricks. The taste of bitter herbs is just that bitter. How are the sweet ingredients supposed to remind us of the bricks? It's not sufficient for us to accept the bitterness in our lives, but we must also comprehend that the suffering and bitterness are cushioned with the sweet compassion of the Almighty. The charoset contains this duality. On the one hand, it looks like the mortar that was used to create bricks. On the other hand, it tastes sweet and sends us a very clear message that even in the times of bitterness, the Almighty is spicing our lives with sweetness. The word charoset contains the word chas, connoting compassion. The remaining letters spell out the name Rut. We'll talk about this also in Lirtz Hashem later, who experienced incredible bitterness and suffering in her life. After leaving a life of royalty to becoming a convert, Ruth was faced with a life of widowhood, poverty, and derision. No one had blamed her for being bitter, but she was anything but. In fact, when her mother-in-law, whose name means pleasantness, rejected those who called her Nomi, insisting she be called Mara, which means bitter, she stood by her side and transformed that bitterness into sweetness. Her descendant, David, was known as Naim Zmiros Yisrael, the pleasing composer of Songs of Israel, because he composed the sweet songs of Tehillim, which are recited in the most difficult and bitter times. That's it. It's David HaMelech, who's Naim Zmiros Yisrael, the sweet singer of Israel. And he's singing in the most difficult and painful personal challenges. This is a crucial lesson to convey to our children on the night of the Seder. There'll be times in our life when we experience the bitterness and suffering of the Mara. But we must dip those bitter herbs into the sweetness of the Charoset. We must understand that Hashem is quote-unquote sweet, not only when we experience the redemption. Rather, even while we are slaves. There is sweetness and love and kindness in those times as well. In addition, these difficult times are often what signal our impending salvation. And indeed, as we know, the Yakut Lecha Tov HaGadah talks about in 24 in the asterisks when we speak about, and every generation have to see ourselves as if we left Egypt. Meidach Gisa, Gam B'Matzavim HaKashim B'Yoter Shalom Yisrael B'Chalav, V'Shalo Yochid B'Prat, in the most difficult situations, whether it's on a national level or an individual level. Tzariach Adam L'Rodeh Yitzvot Kidlu Yatzami Mitzrayim, we see ourselves as we left Egypt, which means, Mitokach Yagir La'Kara Shebechol Matzav Hu Mushkach Haidei Hashem Yisbarach. Hashem is watching over us. V'Chomad Aviv Rachman Alotav Avid, and whatever he does, it's for the good. And this is a famous idea. We'll see it in Rav Reis in 25 and 26, two different places in Parashat Noso. That one is when we're talking about how Merari got extra wagons to carry their materials when the Nasiim, the princes, brought as a gift because their load was heavier than Gershon. Limda Torah b'kash shekashem shemir shamayim mitilima kol achad losek masao. We learn here that in heaven, when Hashem wants us to be carrying burdens, He'll also give you the wagons to help you carry those burdens. Hashem never puts a challenge on us beyond what we can handle. Yes, it's going to take all of our strength, but we have the ability to be successful. Which brings us to Pnei Menachem, one of my most favorite ideas. We've spoken about this many times, my friends, and I feel like we can never talk about this enough, particularly in what the world is going through right now. Hanotein shele katsamer kefor ka'efer yifazer. We say this in Gebitul Kuf Mem Zayin every day in the morning in the Psukim Zimra. Hashem will never give coldness or snow more than the wool and the heat that can warm a person up. A person should never feel despondent. Whoever gets nisyonos in life also gets the wherewithal and gets the people and the circumstances to help a person go through this. Hashem gives a person the coldness and He gives them the tzemer. He gives them the wool. We have to open our eyes, and that's where Rav Yitzchak Isaac Sher was saying, just like the charoset represents the bitterness, it also represents Hashem's love, the apple. We have to see in our lives that we are in the apple of Hashem's eyes, kivyachol. Where are those core people that Hashem has particularly sliced up into our lives to be able to hold us, to be able to be that root for us? When we're able to do this, our final idea on this first level is in 27, Be'er Mayim Chaim, Be'er Chaim, Rav Biderman, Gam Sarich Tamil Chapez Zachelik Ato. You have to see the good in everything that happens. 28, V'tzarich Lamim Shakol Rachamim V'chasadim V'etam Atzara Yetzma Yeshua. The challenge itself is really salvation. And this is why he notes here something very fascinating. When we eat Marah, we dip it into Charoset that we don't need. And we have to believe that it's all good. We have to believe that it's all really for our benefit. But we don't lean, because it's hard. It's hard to be able to see that all these challenges that we go through, it's really that charoset is there. That love is there. That's why after we eat the matzah, after we eat the marah, we have Zecher L'Mikdash Kehillah. We have the Hillel sandwich. And what is the Hillel sandwich really about? It's about taking that experience of the matzah and being able to integrate it with the maror. The maror, albeit we have the charoset, needs a little bit more of a boost. And that's why when you eat the korach, there is a minhag Yisrael to lean. Leaning is charos. Leaning is freedom. Hello, ein lasei be'ed achilas maror, morel avdus. Well, hold on a second. I don't lean when I eat maror, which represents slavery. Why would I eat it when I eat the korach sandwich? V'amru tzadikim, the answer. Ki kasher korach et ha-matzah. The matzah represents the michla demnusa, the bread of emuna, with the maror. The ha'inu sheish la'muna b'barei kol olamim. When you eat that maror and the charoset in the sandwich, however, you add the component of the matzah, then you realize there's no maror, everything is for the good. And in that way, it sweetens all the dinim. So my friends, what really happens in this karech sandwich is, I eat the maror is avdos, the maror is slavery, but I have the charoset with it, the charoset is, but there is goodness here. And that's the goal, to be able to try to tap into it. It's hard. So Chazal help us out. They say, you know what, make a sandwich. Add the matzah to it. And when you add the matzah, you realize that what? There is no maror here at all. That really everything, called Avraham Rachman Lotav Avi, whatever Hashem does is for the good. And suddenly that charoset is able to sweeten that judgment. And when I sweeten that judgment, indeed, everything does become good. This is the idea the Beis Aharon says. Me'et Hashem Haita Zo. When a person realizes that everything is Me'et Hashem, Then what happens? He flows, Beinenu. Then it's indeed going to become wondrous. Then Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's running the show. My friends, let's now try to understand a little bit the second level. So the first level is the Tapuach, represents the idea of the Chesed of Hashem. The Maror represents the Golos, the Avdos. And in every situation of challenge, you have to find the goodness, you have to find a nota in Shelikat Summer, and be able to eat that Korech sandwich. The second way of looking at this, we'll begin again with Laila Kayom Ya'ir. And he says, what's the big deal of this apple tree and the arrow in 30? Like, does it make a difference what tree they were under? So he'd like to suggest the following. On the first level, we looked at the apple as love. As the love of, you know, the woman giving birth and the Hashem doing it in a miraculous way. And it's Hashem seeing all the goodness and Hamtaka Sadinim, sweetening the judgment. Here he looks at the apple on the second level, and this in this way we see why the two approaches of Charoset really are Hainu Hach, are one and the same. That Tapuach represents Din, it represents judgment itself. And he speaks about it in 31, it's very deep, I'm just going to try to highlight it and not spend too much time on it, one could pursue it on their own. We know that the Pasuk, we mentioned it last week by the Purim Shir, that when Yitzhak Avinu smelled Yaakov Avinu and gave him the bracha, he said, Re'e Re'ech B'ni, Kire'ech Sadesh Yerbecho Hashem. Behold, the smell of my son is like the smell of the field of blessed by Hashem. And Chazal say, Kire'ech Sadesh Al Tapuchim, the apple smell. And he says that the sense of smell is connected to Midas Hadid, to the attribute of judgment. And you see that what do we call a nose? A nose is called in Hebrew an af. Af is a language of anger, Charon Af. And we know that the Malach HaMavet told Moshe Rabbeinu when he went up to heaven about the Ketoret, that incense offering to stop the Magefa. And again, Yasimu Ketoret Ba'Pecha, the Ketoret is incense, and it's there to stop that anger of Hashem, the Magefa, which is going to destroy Klal Yisrael. It's interesting, he says, Shekein kol ma'aseh b'reishit nivra b'koach shem Elokim ha'mori ha'midas hadin. Aside from this fact that the idea of the apple and the smell is din, anything that is created is an aspect of din. Because otherwise it would just be status quo. If you have to create something, it means you have to break out of status quo, and that takes strength. It's interesting that there are three things the Gemara in the beginning of Masechet Tanis speak about, that there are three keys in the hands of God that never go into the hand of an emissary. Childbirth, rain, and resurrection. Isn't it interesting that all of them are found, mentioned in the bracha, the second bracha of Shemona Esrei, Atah Gibor, which is all about the Gevura, the strength of Hashem. To take something into fruition, a child, rain, resurrection, which is all about creation, it takes a tremendous amount of strength. That things don't remain in status quo. And this is why he speaks about in the Tudat, while all other trees, the leaves come before the fruit, the apple tree, the Gemara in Shabbos says the fruit comes before the tree, the leaves, because the apple has to create, it has that din, it takes energy, it takes judgment, it takes that strength to be able to be produced, which is the harder of the two, to show you that that's the whole essence of what the apple tree is about. On this, again, without getting, he goes much more into detail. What is the idea that the woman gave birth under the apple tree? It's the idea of din in the Aaron 32. When Klal Yisrael are having children under the apple tree, on this way, yes, there's the aspect of Hashem's kindness. On this way, we're focusing that the apple tree represents judgment. That there was a very, very, very harsh time here. There was a time where they were trying to destroy Klal Yisrael. And the more they tried to destroy them, the more the Jews gave birth. All of this, the whole birth of Klal Yisrael, is under this shadow of, under the cloud of judgment. And that is really the theme of both Charoset, that whether it's the judgment that's found in the mortar and the brick, or the apples, remind us how Klal Yisrael only had many children because they were worked so hard, because there was so much din, there was so much judgment in the world, and there was so much oppression in the world. Hashem had to, the more oppression, the more he had to, you know, make them greater and greater. However, the birth of Klal Yisrael is really the birth under the rubric of din, of judgment. And that is what the Maror is dipped into. The Charoset, to remind us that the whole period is really a period of judgment. What's the meaning behind this? So let's explain, my friends. Back to Rav Kluger ben Bechor Yisrael. And he says, we just think that, you know, life started with the Avos, and then Klal Yisrael came, and they were redeemed. Omnam b'menein zekah, 35 in the asterisk, el shebegalut Mitzrayim lishlama birur shayabis mana Avos. Really, what's going on in Egypt, and we call it the Kur HaBarzel, the iron furnace, is really a process of purification. I can't explain to you what this means. It's what Chazal speak about. That whatever negative character traits that were in Klal Yisrael, hereditary, something, nature, nurture, whatever it was, they had to really work hard to get rid of them, to become the nation that was ready to be a Kli Kibul, to accept the Torah. You just can't wake up one morning and accept the Torah. You can't wake up one morning and be redeemed. You have to think about, who am I? What am I about? Go through this process. You have to have this like an iron furnace. It has to be this purification process. Again, it's not weeding people up. Don't get me wrong in that. It's all the people will be at the redemption. It's just those character traits. It's reflection. It's all of the nation that have to go through this process. That's why Achadayin lo nitkaleh b'briya giloy gadol shel shem havaya yitzia mitzrayim matan Torah. That's why the name of Hashem only happened, really, when we got to Torah. Because until then, Klal Yisrael wasn't ready as a nation. Adayin lo hayta leidat nishmat Yisrael, we weren't born yet. V'rak kishitchil litgalot ba'olam shem havaya, az noldat nishmat Yisrael. Only when Hashem could fully reveal himself, i.e. that Klal Yisrael was worthy of having the name of Hashem on them, that they had purified themselves, and again, whatever that level means, which I can't explain to you, as we say, v'shmenu karata v'shmecha, that Hashem's name is called upon us, only then were we really born. Now we understand why Klal Yisrael had to go through so much difficulty in Egypt, that they would be Muksharim Legalot, asterisk in 36, at the Shemit Baruch Babriya Bedarga Shashem Avaya, to be able to reveal Hashem's name in creation, to be able to receive the Torah. Ubilashon Harizal, Yeridat Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim, who Romez El Havad Be'oldo Be'bet Inimo Ben Amitzari. That this is the imagery that we were like in the mother's womb. We had to go through that process, and then we had to go through the birth process. Mevuarim came Chazal, before Yitzhak Mitzrayim, who Tzruchel Avor Talich Shel Geirus. That's why we had to go through Goy Mekarev Goy. We had to go through a Geirus process. Even though we had the Schus and Koch of the Avot, we had to go through Tefillah and Milah and Hatzayah Sadam. We had to go become Gabriel. We had to go through this process and we became ourselves Jews, and we entered into a covenant with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, truth be told, that this process of purification is maybe not the right word, this process of refinement, I like that a little bit better, really didn't start in Egypt. It started with Avraham Avinu. It started, really, all the refinement you could almost trace, and this is the piyutim at the end of the Haggadah, really at the night of the Seder, you find. Belaylo zeh he maseh, the bracket 38, echad arosh shel birur nishmat Yisrael b'meshach maot shanim, over hundreds of years. Ad zman aleidat Yitzhak Mitzrayim, until actually we gave birth of the night of Egypt, of Pesach. V'arbei chalakim yerkazim bel tobi roh zeh belaylo zeh musugam uzuman libirur nishmat Yisrael. And many things happened that were part of this refinement process. This is also a very, very long essay. Again, I never do any service to any of these essays. They really need to be learned inside in full depth. However, assuming that most of us aren't going to be learning them, most of us don't even know what the cipher even looks like or where to access it. So then you're stuck with my synopsis, better or for worse. So, where do you see things going on this night? Well, one major thing that happened on this night was the War of the Five Kings and the Four Kings, where Avraham Avinu said, I don't even have anyone who would inherit me. You're telling me that I'm going to inherit the land. There's no one going to inherit me. And that was the night where Avraham Avinu got this whole nevuah about the Brit Ben Absarim and about how eventually we were going to leave. 29 years later, on the Yontif of Pesach, the angels come and tell Avraham Avinu that Yitzchak Avinu would be born. And we know in 40 in the asterisk, after Yitzchak was born, we have greater Kedusha and Nishmas Yisrael in the world, and therefore there's more Ketrugim, there's more aspects to try to block that. That's why Yitzchak Avinu was beginning to bring the Nishmas Yisrael, the soul of Israel, into this world as an Esav. And we have to have a Yaakov Avinu who's going to have to buy the Bechora from Esav. And you're right. When did that happen? It happened Erev Pesach. The Ramah brings down in the asterisk in 40. Noachim Iksamikomos Lachobasuda Beitzim. One of the reasons why we eat an egg, says the Ramah on Lel HaSeder, is to remind ourselves of Avelos, of mourning. And there are many reasons for the mourning. The Prima Godim says, B'Shem Sefer Yad Yosef, the Avelos is about Avraham Avinu, who died on Erev Pesach, right? He's making the lentils because Yitzchak Avinu is in mourning. And the Prima Godim adds that this is why we do Avelos for Avraham Avinu, Belel HaSeder. Like, why? Because Avraham Avinu was the one who got the Nevuah that we'd be in Golos and then eventually leave. So we remember Avraham Avinu every Pesach Seder night by eating the eggs. Remind ourselves, this is the night Avraham Avinu died. Avraham Avinu is connected to Pesach because he was the one who got this Nevuah about the Golos and the Geula. And then you go through the night in 41. Pesach night, we spoke about 2 weeks ago, is the night of Yitzchak Avinu giving the brachos to Yaakov and Esav. Again, it's the night where, again, this refinement process of Yaakov Avinu is getting himself ready to become the future redeemer of Klal Yisrael, the future nation that will be redeemed. Now we can appreciate in 42, Achar Kol Dvarei Meila. Again, I skipped a lot. We understand that all that happened to Yavos HaKadoshim, all that happened to Yaakov Avinu, everything he went through in the trials and tribulation, where Chelek Mezichuch will be ruined, Yishmak Yisrael is again to refine Klal Yisrael, happening on the night of Pesach, Shavuos Manim Yu'ad L'Birur Nishmat Yisrael, that's what it's about. So now we understand that what is the Charoset about? The Charoset is about to understand that the Yisurin, the challenges we go through, all the bricks and the mortars and the hard labor, as well as the apple tree, which represents the Klal Yisrael having given birth under these difficult situations at a time of din that Hashem had put us in Egypt at a time of tremendous, tremendous judgment, and it seems so difficult and so harsh. All of this is in order. L'ramei shein amtaka ba midvar chitzoni elo she'etzem 43 bracket ha'shibud v'yisurim heim atzmam ha'yeshua v'achana l'alayda. But nevertheless, the charose, which seems to be so much din, right, both the mortar and the apple, nevertheless is sweet and sweetens the maror to say that the din itself, the refinement itself, is part of the purification process. It's the labor pains that allow for the birth. And that's why we don't take something, honey, like dipples, apples, and honey, which now we understand. We're taking the din and dipping it into rachamim, Rosh Hashanah, but that's on our shir for today. We understand that it's the suffering itself, it's the challenge itself, it's the refinement itself that enables us to shine. It's taking that diamond and cutting it and shining it and polishing it. All of this process is to be able to get to the product. It's like the model of taking a piece of clay and putting it in, rolling it and pounding it on the potter's wheel, and then putting it into the oven, and then painting it with this awful fumes, and then putting it into the oven again, and you, like, you know, that you could hear the mug screaming out, "Help! Get me out of here! It stinks! It's hot! Help!" But it's the fumes that allow that the color to stay, and it's the kiln that allows it not to crack. It's the experience itself that enables us to be who we are. And again, that's the idea of eating the egg, that the more you cook it, the harder it becomes. It's the challenges themselves that enable us to be who we are. And that's why it's through the yisurim and the difficulties that we're able to have ultimately the apple, which is the din as well as the birth, which is the redemption itself. Now, in the time that we don't have, let's just take this one step forward and bring it down to our lives. He notes here that what else happened on this night? So we know that just like the Chevle Leida Mechinim et Tavlada Leida, just like this night was about preparing for birth, it wasn't just the Egyptian experience. Kach beGeula Achrona, likewise, 45 in the bracket, in the ultimate redemption. Gulat Yisrael Holechu Mibarer Kima Kima, the ultimate redemption as well will be through a refinement process that also is very much connected to Tetvav B'Nisan. And he speaks about that the war of the four kings and the five kings happened then. We know that Lo taking in the angels was the night of Pesach. All of this, all these stories of Sodom are happening on the night of Pesach. And what is the whole idea of why Lot was saved and why Lot was saved again? It's because who comes from Lot, which is David HaMelech. So really the original Pesach experience is having us foreshadowing over to David HaMelech, the ultimate redemption, because the Egyptian experience isn't just about the birth of Klal Yisrael. That is to remind us that there's going to be an ultimate birth again, which is going to be connected to Leil HaSeder, like David HaMelech who's coming from this Pesach experience of redemption, of the war of the four kings, the five kings, of being saved again. It's all happening on Pesach, because the night of Pesach is about foreshadowing the ultimate redemption as well. And David HaMelech represents so clearly somebody who lived his life under tremendous, tremendous struggle and pain. Because that is about the refinement process. It's the difficulty, it's the challenges. Indeed, we spoke about many years ago, Rabbi Foyer brings down in Tehillim Treasury, that why is David HaMelech connected to the kinnor, to the harp? Because with a harp, the tauter the strings are, the greater sound they emit. And the more challenges that a person has, the stronger they become, the greater they become. And this, my friends, as we know also in labor, the most intense labor pains, you know, the birth process is about to happen. So now we can appreciate, my friends, that Ari HaKadosh that we made mention of earlier, that Charoset is Chas Rut, that Rut is hinted at in the Charoset, that the compassion of Rut. Rut is also the embodiment of one who suffered, and her whole personal life of suffering is all about being able ultimately to come into Eretz Yisrael, to be the Ima Shel Malchut, to have David HaMelech to sing those praises to Hashem, even in difficult situations. It's all about Beirur Achar Beirur, one rectification after another, one level after another. It's a process of constantly getting to a higher and higher state. And he points out, based on the Arizal, says 48, that Orpah, who did not follow, ultimately, with Nomi, it's the same letters as Paro. We all have our Orpa. We have our Goliath, who came from Orpa, who tried to block our Paro, the Oref, HaOref, the back of the neck, who try to block our ability to move forward, who make our challenges even greater. So when we dip the Maror and the Charoset on a contemporary level, we're really saying to ourselves, it's just like the original Charoset is coming to remind us of the challenges that we had in Egypt, coupled with Hashem's love and kindness. The original charos that reminds us of the cement and bricks in Egypt, coupled with the tapuach, the apple, which is midas hadin. In both of them, we understand that all that we go through, the process itself enables us to see growth and movement and refinement. And that whatever a Kadosh Baruch Hu does bemar with bitterness, he heals bitterness. That the challenges themselves enable for me to become who I can be. And the process that we go through enables us to be who we can be. And that's what we have to understand in life. We all like everything to end happily ever after, and everything should be sweet. But we have to understand that the sweetness comes from the challenges. The sweetness comes from pulling those strings tautly. That this is what the experience is about. And I think we can say, do any of us understand what's going on, this pandemonium in the world with this coronavirus? I'm hoping that, you know, in a few years from now, if a shift doesn't come, like people will say, like, you know, what is she referring to? Corona, what was that? Like, we should look at it as a bad dream. Having said that, as we're living through this era of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and we're living through this mamish at the time of the Geula, you almost feel we're living in this charoset, in this biwur achar biwur, in this process of refinement after refinement, that there's this din, there's this judgment in this world of trying to get us to be nicer people, more refined people, inner people, thinking about life. Literally, the whole like world has like is collapsing around us. Right? People aren't allowed to go to weddings and pay shiva visits and be around a lot of people together. Suddenly we have to re-examine our whole lives. What is going on here? And it's a process, whether one isn't isolation, what is not, whatever you are, everyone is affected by this. There's a pandemonium and tumult in the world. And that's for us to realize that when there's a revelation of godliness, that's when the labor pains are the greatest. And we know Corona is, if you've seen the Corona beer, is a crown. You know, my son-in-law, who's Russian, it's his mother tongue. He says it much better than I can say, Corona, that you really feel it's a crown. Coronation. This is what it's about. When you're about to coronate the king, the Maamad Har Sinai, you had to go through Mitzrayim. If Mashiach is about the ultimate coronation of the king, we too need to go through a Bivur process, a refinement process. And our challenge is to be able, in all of this pain and in all of this challenge, and there's a lot on so many levels, it's hitting every person in so many different ways, to recognize that this is all part of a larger process, and we have the ability in a few weeks, on the night of Pesach, the night of redemption, to be able to be zocheh to the ultimate redemption of coronating Hashem as a king, whether it's here or ad coming up, and to look at this experience as part of a process similar to the one in Egypt, of the din, of the judgment in the world, is really for us to be able to go through our own refinement process, to be nicer people, to be more gentler people, to be more sensitive, to be able to appreciate what's going on in this world, taking nothing for granted, realizing it's not about my control, that we're really here to make Hashem king, and when we're able to crown him as king in our lives, in a very, very deep and real way, then we should be zocha in a few weeks' time to be able to ultimately coronate him on the day of Pesach, the day of the ultimate redemption.